You are about to listen to the undiluted word of God, taught by Pastor Chidi Eberin Wokocha, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Disciples Assembly, a man known for his strong passion for leadership, growth, and kingdom discipleship. Listen and be impacted.
Today we are looking at the church unity. Praise the Lord. You know, we said this month we're going to look at the church part one. That's what we'll do this month. Talking about the church is a very long topic. So what we'll do part one in March, and the part two will come later in the year. Praise the Lord. The last two Sundays we looked at the church purpose. Why is the church set up? What was the mandate given to the church? Praise the Lord. And today we are looking at church unity. It is important that the church is united. You know, during the week, I saw something on Facebook. For those that know me, I'm active on Facebook. That's the only one I've chosen to be active on. Somebody said something that really got me thinking. He said, the devil is not afraid of a big church. Praise the Lord. The devil is not afraid. I'm trying to add my own now to it. The devil is not afraid of a small church. The devil is not afraid of a praying church too. But the devil is afraid of a united church. Praise the Lord. The devil is afraid of a united church. So, devil is not bothered if you gather, you clap your hand, do all that you do, and all of you are angry with each other, bitterness, envy, all sorts of things. When you go home, he's okay. And I'll tell you why later. He's not afraid if you fill this place with people, you know, canopies outside, you know, and cars parked all over the place, you know, and everybody knows we're meeting here, but we have anger, hatred for one another. The devil is happy. Praise the Lord. But when you have a church that is united, then there's a problem in the kingdom of darkness. Because that is what the Almighty God wants. And that is what really moves him when we gather together as a church. Can you take me to 2 Chronicles, I think 5, 13 and 14 that Ephraim used to pray before I go into what I want to talk about. Chronicles 5, 13 to 14. If you're there, you read for me. He said, okay, go ahead.
So that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God.
Praise the Lord. You see, when they started to praise God in one accord, the Bible said, then, I want to write that then, the house was filled with cloud, even the house of the Lord. If you read through the Bible, wherever the children of God gather in one accord, God is bound to do what? Move. He's bound to move. So that's why it is important for the church to be united. We've talked about who is the church, what is the purpose, but today we're looking at church unity. Romans 12, 4 to 5. He said, for us, we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. The church is not made of people that are of the same. Praise the Lord. We are different, but we all make up the body of what? Of Christ. And Jesus is what? The head of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:12-20 says, for as the body is one, and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is one member, but many. But the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eyes, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Praise the Lord. So we are one body in Christ, and that is why the church must be united. Christians are bound together in a relationship of unity of members of one another. So you cannot be in church and we are walking in different directions. You cannot be in church and there is no love. Jesus said that would be one of the marks of knowing who is a disciple of Jesus. Praise the Lord. That they love one another. And God takes the issue of church unity very, very serious. That he says, if any one of us is trying to cause problem in the church, there are several ways he has counseled us to bring the person to order. Call the person, counsel him. Are you the person is still, you know, continuing his own or her own part? He said, you cut him off. Praise the Lord. And it's very clear. Ephesians 4:3-6 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Praise the Lord. So what are the key issues of church unity? What are the key issues of church unity? You know, he said it is both spiritual and both organic. The unity of the church is the Holy Spirit assignment. I mean, and I will explain. You see, when you give your life to Christ, like we understood last Sunday, when we looked at the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that brings you into the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. It is assignment to ensure that the church is united. That's why Christ said, I will build my church. Praise the Lord. And the gates of hell shall not do what? Prevail. As long as the church is united, we are coming against one of the biggest forces on earth, which is the gate of hell. And we have been given assurance of victory. But why is the church today not powerful? Why is the church today not very victorious? Because most of us are not united. The church itself is not united. We have several churches all over the place. We have people, you know, who claim to be believers all over the place, and yet we are not making the right impact. Why? Because we are not united in what we do. Praise the Lord. So anytime somebody gives his life to Christ, the Holy Spirit admits that person into the body of Christ. It is his work to ensure that the church is united. And you and I need to understand that the Holy Spirit Once he baptizes you into that body, then you have to conform to the body. Imagine if you want to travel, let's say, from here to mainland, as your mind is traveling to that side, your leg begins to go towards another direction. What will happen? They will say the person Dokolo. Praise the Lord. Because he will say, okay, I want to go to Yaba. He will tell everybody, I'm going to Yaba, 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 Yaba. And as he's leaving, he said, he's going towards Lekki, and he keep on shouting, I am going to Yaba, Yaba. They said, stop. Are you sure? That's not the right direction. He said, no. That is Yaba. What will happen? They said, something is wrong somewhere. And that is what happens when the body of Christ is not united. So the word unity is not saying all of us must be one. The word unity here, it doesn't mean that all of us will have to be the same. And that was why, the Bible tried to explain that, you see, some of us are like the eyes, the ears, the hands, praise the Lord, the legs. He's talking about unity in diversity. We all come from different backgrounds. And one thing that is holding each and every one of us is what? Is Christ. So once we have one purpose, that's why we look at the church purpose first. Once we have one purpose and we are baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit, we have something that is holding us together. That is why the white man, the black man, the yellow man, the green man, do they have red people? Green people, blue people, red blood, blue blood. When they come to Christ, salvation is what? A leveler. Everybody starts from there. In the beginning, we are created as one. From Adam and Eve, right? Even our language was only changed when man tried to use the oneness in language to cause confusion. God said, okay, let's just do small experiments here. They are building the tower. They said, let us build a tower. And so that whenever we want to can rebel and run to heaven and then stop God. They were not only satisfied with what they are doing on earth, they wanted to go and stop God in heaven. They wanted to build a tower. And God said, that these people, whatever they put their heart to do, nobody can stop them. God changed the language of man. But man is, when we come to Christ, we are one. Praise the Lord. So unity in Christ is possible when we are united around Him, bowing to His Lordship as King and obeying Him. And that's why I loved where we read dream prayer. When Solomon was dedicating the temple, I love the way Solomon started. His father David fought all the battle, provided all the resources to build the temple. But David wanted to build, but God said, no, David, you cannot build, and your hands full of blood. You've fought a lot of battles. I'm bringing a man of peace that will build for me. Praise the Lord. And they built this temple, and on the day of dedication, for the first time, people saw, they were used to tabernacles and everything, and here was a temple. Magnificent, beautiful, everybody, for the first time, they were proud, they were happy to serve God. In that oneness in spirit, as they were worshiping, heaven moved. Bible says that God came down powerfully, and even the ministers could not minister. I'm looking forward to that day when service will be going on and nobody will be able to move because of the anointing. What we saw on Sunday was just a scratch. We never begin. Praise the Lord. I know Sunday, Holy Spirit came down mightily here. But that's just a scratch. A time will come when a service is going on, the ushers will just be on one side. Praise the Lord. Ushers will be on their own. The sick will just walk in. As they come in, they are healed. Nobody touches them. Nobody will even preach to you. Because the anointing will be so powerful. The presence of God will be so powerful. And that is why they made that comment. That the devil is afraid of a united church. Because whenever the church is united, God moves powerfully. And it is in this unity that the church will be able to overcome the gates of hell. A distracted church A church that has lost focus. A church where there is backbiting and infighting. A church where there is no love. A church where there is no unity cannot withstand the gate of hell. That is how important this is. So true unity is finding oneness of purpose and commitment, moving towards a common goal despite our differences. And that is why we have said in this church, gossip, backbiting will not survive in this place. And I will say it at every service. If you have any problem with anybody, go and meet that person. Brother, sister, I don't like what you did. Maybe when you hear from the old person's own perspective, you might even change your mind. And if the person comes to you and you know that you offend the person, apologize and repent. And make peace there and then. All this going to you move from one place. You know, what are you trying to create? To create a disunited church. A church that is not united, sorry. Then, there is a problem. The devil is not afraid of a big church. The devil is afraid of a united church. Tell your neighbor that. A united church. No, you see, a church could be likened to an intricate puzzle with hundreds and thousands of pieces. You know, the other day my son was handling a puzzle. So the mom says, Chibika, it was a complicated puzzle. What did he say again? More like, this is nothing. A complicated puzzle, but apparently he has been doing it and he has just said, mommy, this is nothing. And I'm like, wow. It was a complicated puzzle. So church is like a puzzle. There are different pieces, different parts. Praise the Lord. And at some point, it might not make sense. When you bring in the first part, you put it doesn't look like what you're looking for, right? You know, when we start up newly like this, we are coming from different backgrounds. It might not look like what we are, the perfect picture that we have, right? But over time, when you keep on putting all the puzzles together, until you put the last puzzle together, pop, you get the picture. And that is the way the church is. Somebody may be here, he may not be able to know how to pray. But he can sing. And when he opens his voice, his mouth, angels will come down. Another person can sing, cannot read the Bible. I don't say you shouldn't read the Bible. I'm just giving an example. You should be able to read your Bible. You should be able to sing and pray. But I'm not going to say people have different words, different gifts. And also I loved what happened on Sunday when we said those that desire the gift of the Spirit should come out. And I was very specific. I said, the gift is not for selfish reasons. You know, a lot of people are not receiving that gift. They want to receive power to heal so they can show off. The gift of the Spirit to the body of Christ is not for you. It's for you to use. For the perfecting of what? Of the saints. To use it to solve problems. And as they were coming, some of them are just approaching the altar. They received it and boom. Because God will see the heart that is real. Some people came here and they were praying. I was looking at something. It's not me that's giving the gift. The owner of the gift will see the heart, see the motive. Praise the Lord. So as they were coming, the Holy Spirit just took them. They received it instantly. So the gift of the Spirit is for the unity of the church. And I will explain. When we all gather together and you have gift of healing, you go out there. You don't need to evangelize too much. Say, hey, come, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. People have problems all over the place. You'll be shocked. The poor, the rich, they all have their problems. And there is no person you will help solve his problem that will not want to find out the God that you serve. If you meet a man who is blind now, and you say, brother, what happened? He say, I was born blind. He say, in the name of Jesus, see. Poof, the eye opened. They tell the man, he said, no, 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 I don't know. All I know is that I was blind, now I can see. You know, when Jesus hit the blind man, they said, I know, he has evil spirit. I don't care whatever you're saying. I know I was blind before, now I can do what? See. That is the biggest form of evangelism. But why do the church gather and there is no power? Because of disunity. Praise the Lord. Because of disunity. You see, when the Holy Spirit takes over, people of different background, classes, personality, and interests can treat each other as what? Family. In KDA, we're a family. Right? Some are from the north, some are from the east, some are from the west, some are from the south, right? Some are from outside this country. But we are all sons of God. Praise the Lord. And united by the Holy Spirit. The moment you give your life to Christ, you become a part of that new family. When we say you are born again, you are born into a new family. Praise the Lord. And that means what hurts you hurts us. What pains you pains us. We begin to grow as a family. That you are a family doesn't mean there won't be any issues. Though. Is there any siblings that I don't fight? Let me see the best liars in church. You know, you say, oh, yeah. You know, some people think when you're a family, they say, ah, but pastor, why do we quarrel? Why do we? Yes, we are getting to maturity. Not like children, same parents. Even with their parents, they quarrel, they fight, right? But that's still the one family. But as they grow older, as they get matured, understand each other, the fight will do what? Keep on reducing. At some point, those that they do that annoy you, you just wink and move on. So the church is like that. As we grow into maturity. As we grow genuinely, we grow into unity. And the more united we are and the stronger we are, the more we become a problem for the kingdom of darkness. He said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are a perfect example of unity among distinct persons or personalities. And the church should reflect the same thing. The church should reflect the same thing. This issue of unity is so important that when Jesus Christ was about to leave, you know, in John 17, Jesus had to pray specifically for the church. He says, church unity is a divine operation coming down from above. Jesus prayed that the church may be one. John 17, 20 to 25 says, neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Underline it. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given. And they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I love King James Version. Reason being that most other versions these days, they are doing all kinds of crazy things. Some people are not aware that the kingdom of darkness are buying up companies that produce the Bible. And they are modifying their own Bible. So that's why some of us still stick to the old King James. Praise the Lord. But what Jesus was saying here is that I'm about to go, Father. And I pray thee that your church will be one. That your church will be united. That's why it pains me when we call for programs, when we call for prayer meetings, people don't show up. If we come here in one accord, trust me, there is no problem that cannot be resolved at this place. But people come with their own different agenda. Even when we say, let us even pray, you see people still be using their phone. That's what I don't understand. Before phone came, we were existing, doing very well. Nigeria started using phone from 1991. Is it 1990? When? 2001. So recent. Now, every Nigerian, so if everybody has two phones, even people that cannot afford even to load the phone itself. We are in church, we are using phone. We are in church, we are charging phone. People have told me that some people lost their phone in church. Why do I charge? I said, oh. If you come, just come and charge phone. If you want to charge your phone, you can come to say, Pastor, can I charge my phone in your office? You put it there, we'll lock it. And yeah, but people are charging, they can be looking at it. Sometimes someone is going on there, they are looking at Facebook. Praise the Lord. We need to be united. We need to be focused. We don't come to church to play. Because whenever we gather together, this is so important to Jesus that as he was going, he said, Father, that they may be one. We have come from different backgrounds, but we are joined by one purpose, one common purpose, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King. And that is what we should build on that foundation. Praise the Lord. So the prayer shows how much is at stake in church unity. You see, if you read the whole of John 17, you see several things are at stake in church unity. You see, one is in God's name. When the church is united, the name of God is magnified. Praise the Lord. When the early apostles were out, because if you watch at the early stage, they were doing everything together in one accord. People took notes. So these ones have been with Jesus. Because they saw the power that came forth. You know, I was watching something on Facebook early this morning, and it was John and Peter at the temple, at the gate of the temple, beautiful. You know, the people that did it, they say, carry the man, early in the morning, put in front of the temple. And here was Peter and John approaching. The guy was there begging for alms. You know, people were just passing, some people just throw the coin like this. You know, when you even give beggars something, God is also looking at your heart. I said, we just drop it anyhow. Here was Peter and John. They were just observing. Something just moved Peter. And they walked up to him. And I'm sure the man was not looking at them. And Peter said, Save and God, we have not. And now they have done. I heard it like. I said, By the power of Jesus, rise up and walk. And this guy, you know, they just dragged him up. This guy just stood up and started limping. The guy started dancing. I don't know what to call that dance style. He would do like this. He just danced. And just started running into the temple. People were all looking at him like, who is this crazy man? That was power. The early church were united, and that was why there was power. So when the church is united, the name of God is magnified. When the church is united, our God is glorified. When the church is united, you see unity. You won't see anybody trying to. So when you see unity, you see love of God, You see love. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. You see people trying to help one another. You see people trying to solve problems together. Not finding fault. Some people come to this church. All they'll be looking at now is, why did they paint this place is white, blue, this one is brown. Did they lack color sense here?
Another person said, why did they even choose red and blue? Eh? Another person might even say, they were, some of them are even looking dirty. What's their problem, self? What am I saying? Some people will just come to find fault. I thought somebody came to worship God. Also, I like that story of a lady who came to church and told pastor, I want to leave the church. Pastor said, why do you want to leave the church? He said, there is no unity in the choir. Sister this is not dressing well. Sister this is fighting with sister this. Brother this cannot talk to this. You know, things are not working the way looking for a perfect church. Please praise the Lord. And after talking, he said, she wants to leave. She's tired of this place. She didn't know she had a role to play in building up the place. So pastor said, okay, no problem. I'll allow you to go. But before you go, next Sunday, just come and do something for me. He said, pastor, no problem. When he came, pastor said, okay, fill the glass with water in a big church. Said, if you can carry the water in that glass and it's filled to the brim and go around from the back to the front and back again and come back to me and you don't spill it, then you can walk away. So, in a bid to prove that she really wants to go, so she held on to the glass. You know, the glass was filled to the brim. With all the praise and everything going on, she was just going. She went around, came back to the pastor, and no one dropped. Pastor said, wow, wonderful. Why didn't you drop? He said, pastor, I had to focus on this glass so that it does not drop. Praise the Lord. And pastor laughed and said, good. See, you see, all the while you are focusing on the glass, did you notice the church? Did you notice anybody or sister? Did you notice anybody not dressing properly? Not worshiping the way they ought to worship? Did you notice the differences among the people? He said, no, pastor, I was busy focusing on the glass of water. And pastor said, that is the way it should be in church. You should focus on Jesus Christ. That when you focus on Him, you will not see all these problems. That when you sit down and you are seeing all the problems, you've taken your eyes off Jesus. Praise the Lord. So our unity is our testimony to the world that the Lord and our faith we preach are real. If we're united as a church, what are we preaching? Some people come to church in the same department. They won't talk to that brother or that sister. And you lift up, my pastor, when he was at the pastor, they say, you lift up holy hands in quotes. As you used to do some rubbish during the week. Say, I'm worshiping God. You can't talk to somebody in your department or that other district. Why? Praise the Lord. And God responds to us on the basis of our unity or lack of it. God responds to His church on the basis of what? Of unity or lack of it. See, when we are not united, God will limit His work in our lives. You are planted here for a purpose. Don't think you are in this church by mistake. No. God does not make mistakes. He brought you here for a purpose. And if you chosen to remain here, then you have to play that active role. Find out why He has kept you here. Praise the Lord. When we are united, His work is moved forward. Look at on the day of Pentecost. In the upper room, as they prayed in one accord, what happened? The Holy Spirit came. Go and read your Bible. Anywhere the children of God gather in one accord, the power of God moves. It's not as if our gathering moves God. No, He has already moved ahead. But the moment we are in unity, triggers. And that's why we say sometimes it's easier to get prayer answered corporately than praying individually. Remember, he said, where two or three are gathered together. So sometimes we read that word, we don't put together, right? Where two or three are gathered in my name. Together. That word is in unity. God says, wherever two or three of us gather together in His name, what happens?
He will show up.
So you want God to solve a problem, gather three people, two people of like mind. People should meet and begin to pray. God will show up. Praise the Lord. Bible warns us to watch out for those who cause disunity. This will tell how serious God takes issue of unity. Romans 16, 17 to 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speech deceive the heart of the simple. You know, some people can come in here and begin to quote scriptures. I've met people that quote scriptures and their hands are as black as stone. Praise the Lord. You know, to deceive a lot of people. But Bible says, mark those who cause division and offense in the church. And what did he say? He said, avoid them. That means, if they are not for us, you are what? Against us. If you are here and you are not for the church unity, to build up the church, that means you are against the church. And Jesus says, avoid such people. Cut them off. 1 Corinthians 3:17, we have always used scripture when we are talking about the individual. He says, if any man defy the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Yes, we are the church. And we are the temple of the living God. Praise the Lord. But God is saying here, any man that will defy my church. People come into church to do all kinds of things. When you are in church, you are a worker in church, and you are sleeping around, you are defiling the church. You come to church, some come into church to come and steal. They are defiling the church. And God says, anybody who will defy my church, he will I do what? Destroy. So when you are doing this, the devil doesn't even have to waste time with the person again. Because he knows that it is God that is facing him, right? We have to be careful. People don't fear God anymore. People come to church to do all kinds of things. You remember what happened to Hophni and Phinehas? The sons of Eli. They were defiling the temple. They were sleeping with the women that come to the temple. They were stealing offering. Who was there, Pastor? What are you talking about? When people bring their sacrifice, also give God. Wait. Before the sacrifice goes to God, let me take my own. They will grab their own. Praise the Lord. The ones that were inside the pot, the rule was you bring the fork, whatever you put, whatever you bring out, you take, right? They said, no. Open that pot. That one is small. They take the big one and say, okay, God, you can take the rest. You know, I've puzzled for a few years. There have been cases where people steal offering. Not this present usher, though. You know, we are new here. I mean, cases where people steal offering. They don't know the kind of problem they are bringing for themselves. Because they are defiling the temple. Or you are sent to go and buy something. You go there, you buy this, and you present this. It's not Pastor Chidebere, you are cheating. You are defiling the temple. And God says, anyone who defiles the temple is him. I will do what? I will destroy. There are some, you have enough problem on your hands now. Why come and add to it? They're coming to church to come and do. Do you know what I'm saying? People, like I said, church is like a hospital. People are coming already with their issues. You shouldn't come to church and come and add to your problem. Right? It should be less, and the problem should reduce. So anything that you do that hurts God, you are defiling the temple. Remember what killed? What was the name of this man and his wife again? Ananias and Sapphira. You know why they died? Were they the first liars? Huh? Would they be the last liars? But why did they die? The church was in the early formation. They were doing things in one accord, and the Holy Spirit was building his church, and he's still building his church. Praise the Lord. They sold their land on their own accord. Nobody told them to go and sell, because people were just bringing their things. They sold their land on their own accord. Put part of the money. Even if they're going to be like, say, Peter, yes, we sold. And we kept 50% for ourselves. This is what we want to give. They said, no, this is all that we sold, everything. The man lied. He died there. And you have thought the wife will have, well, for the wife didn't know that the man had died. Came out there. Maybe that's the agreement they had. They also lied. You know, if that thing has gone unnoticed, that will have destroyed that early foundation of the church. Be careful. Be careful. So God had to use them to set a very drastic example. It's either you're in or you're out. Praise the Lord. Do not defy the temple. There are several things that we do. Sometimes we just take it. Oh, what? Because it's happening inside. People talk about men of God, bless them, blah, blah, blah. Be careful also. Be careful how you handle the anointed of the Lord. This is another sermon of another day, but let me just stop briefly on it. Even when Saul, when God has rejected him, praise the Lord, an evil spirit entered into him. And David saw him at the cave of Adullam. Was it? What's him again? Eh? Adullam, okay. Saw him at that cave. And wanted to, he cut off his, listen, spirit of God smote him. He couldn't kill him because he was anointed of God. Some of us have defied the temple, the church of God. You know, some churches, they even go to the court to go and fight over church property. They're not fighting for souls. Excuse me. They're not even fighting for souls. Let us who is you win more souls to take to heaven. They fight. One was so bad that they got in front of a Muslim judge. The Muslim judge begged them, can't your elders resolve this for you? You know, our Bible says that we will judge angels. That is why he said, if two of you have any problem, let the church settle it for you. If you can't be settled, why don't you allow yourself to be defrauded? That's what the Bible says. When the Christian demon said, okay, if you cannot solve this problem with your Bible, can I bring my Quran so that we can use it to solve the problem? That's when their eyes opened. And that's when the elders of some churches now gathered together to come and beg them. And it's those ones listening. But what about the ones that didn't listen? They went on the way to Supreme Court. Be careful. Because what the enemy is doing, if you cannot destroy a united church, what will he do? If one is the devil, what do you think the person will do? I don't want to say anybody here. You will send people to infiltrate, right? And destroy from within. And that's why the Bible says, anybody who is causing church disunity, cut him off. And he says, I will destroy that person. Because the church of Christ is so important to him that he's not joking with it. And the devil can never defeat. Quote me anywhere. It doesn't matter how the demons, devil, everything fight. Victory is already what? Assured. The church will defeat the kingdom of darkness anytime, any day. It is written. Praise the Lord. And that is where it is. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, an hand that shed innocent blood, an heart that devised wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. The last one. And he that soweth discord among what? Brethren. God hates anybody that causes disunity in his church. It is not my church. It's the church of God. Praise the Lord. And Christ is the head of the church. So he said, anybody that will cause that discord among brethren, he said, I hate him. When God is your problem, where will you get solution? You know, I used to have a friend growing up. I know I've seen this example many times. His name is God's Case. In fact, his name in Igbo is Ibechukwu. Ibechukwu. So we change it to God's Case. So whenever we see him, we just shout, God's Case! Then he will shout, no appeal. So if God is your problem, who will you run to? Praise the Lord. That's why it's important for us to work for the unity of the church. Power of our unity. I've said it several times. When disunity brings up to our church, unity brings power and productivity. In the upper room, as they commune in one accord, the Spirit of God came in power at Pentecost. We'll discuss that. Praise the Lord. Another example that somebody gave is like using spotlights and laser lights. When you use one single light, you know, we are all lights of this world, right? So when you have one light in one place, is it very powerful? Imagine if we get all the lights of everybody and concentrate on one spot. What happens? It's so intense. That's what happens when we come together as one body in Christ. We are all individual lights. When we come together, what happens? We shine brighter. It's so intense and more powerful. That is why communal gathering of believers is key. Not just physical gathering, but in one purpose. Praise the Lord. In Acts 4:31, when the apostles gathered in one place and prayed in one accord, the earth, the building did what? Shook. Acts 4:31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God in boldness. When the church is united, the Holy Spirit moves freely. We shouldn't wait for anointing service for the Holy Ghost to move. It's because we have used program to push Holy Spirit aside. It should be our service comes. Allah, He moves with one accord. When the worship is going on, some people are busy playing or looking at their phones. Some people are busy gisting outside. To them, you know, one thing I've noticed in church is that sometimes people have areas they think is more important to them. So like those in choir, once it's praise and worship, they pour out themselves, right? Once praise and worship finish, some of them are outside gisting, waiting for time for offering for them to come and sing again. Those in prayer, once it's prayer, you see them praying and shaking. After the prayer, if it's time for worship, they don't participate. Praise the Lord. It shouldn't be so. In everything that we do, let's do it what? In one accord. And when you do it, the Spirit of God moves powerfully in our midst. When the church prayed together in one accord, Peter was released from prison. Are you aware? The church was praying. Herod has done a small experiment. He took James, cut off James' head. Not our own James here. If your name is James, not you. James the apostle. Praise the Lord. Cut off his head. And the people were jubilating. They said, let's go for the big fish. Let's go for Peter. So they grabbed Peter, put him. The plan was after the ceremony, Peter will be killed. But the church at that point, we were so united. They started praying in one accord. Father, Peter must not die. Peter must not die. Peter must not die. Peter must not die. As they were praying, the prison doors shook and opened. And then they brought out Peter. Doors opened everywhere. And when Peter even came to them, they didn't even believe. They were even afraid whether he was a ghost. But they prayed in one accord. Praise the Lord. Church unity is an essential component of accessing God's power. You can write it down. Church unity. If we want this church, do you know that this church can change what happens in Aso Rock? We've had an experiment here and it worked first time. We can decide here what happens in Aso Rock. That is the kind of power God has given to His church. And we can only do that when we operate in one of what? accord. Kankaraya said, Father, all of us, not as we're praying, some people are thinking about their girlfriend. Some people are thinking about their boyfriend are going to see after service. And all of us gather and say, Father, we want this change from here. And it will happen. Say, anything you ask in my name, anything, is a blank check. I don't think the church understands that blank check. But he said, anything you ask in my name, is a blank check. The believers have the power and authority to decide what happens in their environment. Because we are supposed to establish God's kingdom here on earth. And he has given us the keys. He has given us the keys. So we also decide what happens. But why is the church not deciding what is happening? Because the church is not united. The church is weak. And that's why when we decree, nothing happens. Some people go as far as fake anyway. A lot of fake out there. Fake miracles. When there is power to stick it and it will happen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another thing that is about around the church unity is issue of tribe and race in church. It's so bad. At least let me start with us here in Nigeria. And all of us are one color, right? We're all black people. But tribalism has so finished the country that it has also affecting the church drastically. I remember when my pastor was alive, he used to tell us that we need to change our mindset. He said, some people are Igbos before they are Christians. He said, some people are Yorubas before they are Christians. Some people are Hausa before they are Christians. And I'll tell you what that means. He said, it means if there's anything affecting any member here, and the person who goes to fall, see himself as an Igbo man first before being a Christian. And if he wasn't, he'll say, let me go to my fellow Igbo man. Let me go to my fellow Yoruba woman, right? Let me go to my fellow Hausa man. They don't see themselves as believers first before their tribe. We are one in Christ. We are one body, what? In Christ. We have become a new family. Same thing abroad. You'll be shocked. Oh, Nigerian churches abroad. 95% of them are black churches too. But how can God send me to America to pastor? And I pastor only black people. I shall stay back in Nigeria now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because when they go there again, the same segregation takes place. The white people gather themselves on one side. Even where you have a mixture of black and white, after service, you see the blacks on one side having their own meeting. The whites on one side. In like where you see where the two waters meet. Is it Atlantic and which other one? Eh? I saw the picture on Facebook the other day. One is blue, one is it red or what? Eh? Go for Alaska. Okay, I don't know where it is. You see this one flowing, you know. They just flow. But when you see the color, it's different. Even though maybe I don't know whether they're mixing. They don't mix. But in one place. The church should not be like that. We came from Adam. Jesus Christ came and died for you and I. Start allowing tribalism. That is why you could see a church. Some churches will grow. You go there from A to Z. Everybody's one tribe. All the pastors one tribe. And I'm like, how? Other people are not born again. They are born again, but you can't trust them. Can you call that a church? No, we're laughing, but it's this practical. You go to some churches, you see everybody from... In fact, even when another person sets up a branch and builds it, when you finish, they say the person is not holy enough to mind. The guy will bring their own brother. And we say we are building the church of Christ. It's not like that. And these are things that are weakening the church. There's no unity. We don't trust each other. And we say we are worshiping one God. That's why the church is so weak. That's why we have a lot of churches all over the place and there's no power. When you want to, the devil say, keep quiet. Where are your Yoruba brothers or your Igbo brothers? Come, go and bring them. Let us see what they can do. You know what I'm saying? Because we're not coming as one body. Not caring whether we should be able to mix, interact, help one another. Not caring the tribe or the race. Issue of tribe and race has weakened the church badly. That the church is becoming very inefficient without power. And we should stop it. If not, if we don't stop it, we have become tribal associations. Like your village meeting. That is what it's like. You know, I love the young man that came out here the other day. Stephen. When he said different types come and dance out. You know, over the years as a pastor, you know, when that happens, it gives me an idea how people are in church. At some point, in one of our churches, it was the three people we are more in our church. Bini Bini all over the place. So at some other point, it became a choir of people, right? South, south. When they did last time, it was more of Yoruba. It's a good. It's a good blend. Everybody came out for a different, but you could see a good blend. Because a church should be a place you enter. I don't want to know your tribe. I don't want to know where you're from. Whether you're outside Igbo, Yoruba, as long as you have accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are welcome into the family of Christ. But people still come and do that for meeting inside church. If I catch anybody doing that meeting inside church, I will force you to attend a village meeting. Some of you are afraid of a village meeting. You say if you go, they will kill you. You will come and form one inside church. How can the church be powerful and do what it's supposed to do? Because we've allowed tribalism. And that's what has finished this country. Until we eliminate that federal character. Until we eliminate tribe, state from our data, Nigeria will not move forward. Trust me. Until we begin to allow people to do things on merit, this country will not move forward. That's why if you go outside the country, every day you see Nigerians excelling all over the world. But we cannot get it right back home. Because you allow somebody that scored 2% in JAMB to enter medical school, somebody that scored 400 and something score, sorry. And two of them will finish and come and operate on the same person. God forbid. Until we eliminate all this, the church will not move forward. And I always say, the society is a true representation of what the church is. If the church gets it right, society will get it right. Praise the Lord. You know, Peter, don't blame all of us. Peter had that same problem. Can read Galatians 2, 11 to 21. Peter had a problem. At some point, he was trying to say things that the Jews should do and no Gentiles should not do, blah, blah, until Paul stepped in and said, Peter, no, Peter, you are missing it. I know you said this game before me. You are in this race before me, right? But by revelation, Peter, you are wrong. And Peter was corrected. Praise the Lord. Two principles of spiritual unity. And the example that we have here is Jesus Christ with the woman by the Jacob's well, the Samaritan woman. If you know the story of the Samaritans, you know, at some point, the northern kingdom, they went into captivity. So when the Assyrians, they captured the northern kingdom, what they did, they carried most of the people in the northern kingdom away. And brought in their own men into the Roman kingdom. And these people now intermarried with a few Jews who were around, and they produced what they call the Samaritans. So the Samaritan kingdom, even when they returned from captivity, refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans, even up to Jesus' day. So Jesus knew his time was up, he was about to go, and he had to resolve this issue. That's why he had to follow that route that day to meet with that woman. And you want to crack a tribal, or what I call it, a tribal problem. And he knew if he didn't deal with it, his church would not be able to handle it. He deliberately told his disciples to go and buy meat. And I'll tell you why. When they went to go and buy what they would eat, he met this woman. Imagine if Jesus said, "Hey, this is a Samaritan woman. We don't have anything to do with her. Hey, you, stay there. I am Jesus. I have come to save the world. Give your life to me, eh? And you will make heaven. Bye." What do you think will have happened? Jesus chose a common ground where that a discussion will be initiated. Now, both the Samaritans and the Jews, praise the Lord, loved Jacob. They all came from Jacob, right? So the Jacob well was what united them. So Jesus went by that well and told the woman to give him water. He chose a common ground. So sometimes when people are from a different racial or tribal background, don't try to discriminate and call them off immediately. That will not help in church unity. Find a common ground. And that common ground here is Jesus Christ. But in Jesus' case, he used the word. Get me water to drink. It was an abomination for a Samaritan to use the same cup they drink to give the Jew to drink. The Jew wouldn't even drink. So this must be an unusual Jew. You cannot understand the woman's surprise. Why is he telling me to do this? It's not done. It's not been done in years. As they cross the common boundary, at least they started talking, right? Praise the Lord. In doing this, Jesus had to go further. He had to now bring spirituality to it. The common ground was enable them to meet somewhere. When people are not from your tribe, find what unified the two of you. Jesus Christ, you can start from there. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it could be a common problem in church. It could be a common department. Don't say, "Oh, people from this tribe, they are like this." Is abroad is called what? Racial profiling. We can say, "All the people from this area, they love women." So when you just say, "What is that abroad?" I say, "From that area, please hold your daughter." Meanwhile, the guy is a Christian speaking in tongue, demon slaying. He said, I beg. It's what called what? Racial or tribal profiling. He has to stop. Jesus will have said, this Samaritan woman, we don't marry how many husbands? 7. If I didn't, it was you and I, will have said, this one, no hope. How can that kind of person be an evangelist? You know, she became an evangelist for Jesus, for the kingdom. Jesus looked beyond all that. I said, let's move to the next level. You see, as they had a common ground and Jesus was able to resolve all these doubts, he said, "Give me water." He said, "Why will I give you water?" I'm just paraphrasing. Jesus said, if you know he's asking to give me water, you will have given, because the water I give is that of a wellspring. Praise the Lord. And if you drink it, you will never thirst again. Curiosity. So he moved from a common ground, a physical position, to a spiritual position. And the woman became interested. And you could have seen what happened as they were discussing. The disciples came back. See, Jesus was being very intentional here. When they came back, they tried to say, Jesus, abomination, discussing with the Samaritan woman, what have you done? You cannot understand why he sent them away. He wanted to first of all break down those walls first. Imagine if Jesus had gone with them and saw the Samaritan woman, there would have been chaos. As Jesus is trying to convince the woman, they would have said, no, Jesus, there will be argument first. When you meet people from different racial or tribal background, find a common ground first. Find something that is linking the two of you spiritually. And of course, allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Jesus willingly engaged this woman socially. From there, linked it up to spirituality. And the woman ended up being the evangelist for her nation. Refuse to allow culture to interfere with the truth. Even when the woman tried to praise the Lord. Don't allow culture to interfere with the truth. Sometimes we allow cultural issues to override the truth of the gospel. So if you're a child of God, don't allow, they say, this is the way they do it in this place. How did Jesus say we should do it? That is what is more important. Church unity, I'm not saying it's easier, but from, if you go back and study John 4, Jesus took it deliberately, was intentional. Everything he did with that woman is like a textbook. It was deliberate. He was trying to break down tribal, racial issues, barriers. Don't allow. Jesus didn't change himself from being a Jew. He never denied. He didn't transform himself to look like a Samaritan to approach the woman. He was still a Jew. He stood by the truth. The truth should always override tribal sentiments. Never allow tribal sentiments to overcome the truth of the word of God. The problem of tribes to Christ is a problem of sin. And sometimes people are not willing to see it like that. They say, that's the way our father told us. That's the way our mother told us. And that's the way we'll carry. When you begin to discriminate based on race or tribe, it's a sin. And that is why, if we're going to build a church that is united, a church that will be able to overcome the plans and the plots of the enemy, we have to eliminate tribal issues. I'm using tribal here because it's very common in this part of the world. We have to eliminate racial issues. We have to eliminate parapo. See, that's what they call it. These are about parapo. You know, I know somebody in a church. The pastor's wife needed a PA and said, I needed somebody. The person was qualified, everything, you know, was supposed to get a job. Some people are smiling, you know the story. Praise the Lord. And some people gathered, say, how can we send somebody like this from this tribe to our pastor's wife? It cannot happen. Started doing like this, doing like this, doing like this. Presented somebody from their own tribe. The woman said, what about you? They said, no. I don't know what they told the woman. Suddenly the woman lost interest. And they put their own tribe person there. And when I heard it, I was angry in my spirit. I said, in the house of God, in the church of God, the woman, I said, go back to our villages. I got to become village champions. But when you come to the house of God, we are united in Christ. You have a new image. And that's what should guide us. Finally. Have I said finally before? So this is first finally. I'm born again and again. Praise the Lord. Finally. God wants us to be united in purpose. One God. One destination. Heaven. We are one body in Christ, and we should not allow tribe, race, or culture to divide us. Whenever we allow this to happen, the church, you might think you're building a strong church. No. You have only built a tribal church, and that church cannot stand the gates of hell. Praise the Lord. We should not allow culture to influence Christianity. Rather, our faith should change our culture. We are needed. I want us to bow down our heads.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been blessed. For more information, kindly fellowship with us on Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. for our midweek services and Sundays by 9 a.m. for our family services at number 209 Muriokola Street, Victoria Island, Lagos. Or visit us on Facebook at Kingdom Disciples Assembly.